Hi, welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. We are doing the text from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, which is the assigned epistle lesson for the first Sunday in Lent. It's kind of strange that they flipped lessons on us because the third Sunday in Lent is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. So we're kind of starting in the middle of the argument here. I'm not sure why the lectionary creators put the sequence like that, but we'll do the best we can with it. Just to back you up a little, in chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, notice that Paul is making the point that even when we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And he does that upon the analogy of Abraham, that Abraham was justified by faith. Remember, that's his big argument in chapter 4. And he wants to demonstrate how that happened even before Abraham was circumcised. And it's important then that we see it wasn't anything in Abraham. Even his faith cannot be considered a work. And so Paul makes this point to leave justification and salvation totally in the hands of God. He reminds us that reconciliation happened when we were enemies through the death of his son. All right. Now moving into this section, verses 12 through 19, Paul is moving now to another great Old Testament event, and that's, of course, the story of Adam and Eve, and specifically Genesis 3, the fall. And he's making this analogy now between Adam and Christ, which is a very powerful one, in order to make his point about justification and the greatness of our salvation. Since he is beginning to sum up things in this whole capstone argument that started especially in chapter 3:21, but all the way back chapter 1 verse 18, he starts out with a dia tuto. Because of this, or it's sometimes translated as therefore, because it is used to kind of indicate that he's moving now towards the implications of what he has been talking about. So dia tuto, host pair, just as de henos, through one man, he hamartia, sin, eis takosmon, into the world, eis eilthen, entered. That's, of course, from eis erchemai, third singular, second aorist active indicative. So just as through one man, the sin into the world entered, and through the sin, the death. And thus, kai houtos, for all men, or to all men, ha thanatos, death, deilthen, death has passed through. So notice you get a little distinction between, in meanings, between eis erchemai and deerchemai, all right, to enter and pass through everybody. But notice the way that Paul is setting up his argument here, all right. He has made this comparison with this host pair, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus for all men death has entered. Now he finishes it up with this very difficult construction, f ho pontes hamarton. There is, when you start reading the commentaries, you'll see a lot of debate about what that might mean, but opinion about it, the thing that kind of seems to make the most sense and can be reinforced by other examples in Pauline literature, is that you take this fho as a conjunction in a causal sense, that it explains how death passed to all people. So you will see the translations go, death has passed through to all people because all hamarton, all have sinned. The point being that death is universal because sin is universal. You can make the point that sin makes people sinners. All right, so that's how pervasive and powerful sin is. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in connection with death as we move through the pericope. But notice at this point that you're expecting a other side of the comparison. If sin is like this, if just as through one man sin entered into the world and through sin death, and thus to all men death is passed because all have sinned, in the same way you're expecting him now to make a comment about what Christ has done for us. But notice you don't get that. And that makes, actually at least you don't get it yet, you get it later on in verse 18. Makes Paul's line of thought hard to follow. But what Paul actually does here is something he does not uncommonly in these chapters, is add some parentheses. So his first parentheses is actually verses 13 through 14. He wants to explain a few things before he makes his main point of comparison here. So in verse 13, you have that achri, which takes the genitive. So until the law, see achri namu, until the law, hamartia, sin was in the world. All right. What he means there is that in the analogy of Adam and Christ, Adam was, in a sense, given a law by God. You shall not eat of those trees. He transgressed the law so that the law, because he transgressed it, his sin became transgression. And Paul talks a little bit about that in the previous chapter, actually, in chapter 4. But until the law, so after Adam and Eve, until the law was given on Mount Sinai, you lived, the people lived in a time, so to speak, without law. But the point he wants to make is even without law in the world, sin ruled. Sin did its work. Okay? So the point that he wants to make is that sin was doing its work after the fall of Adam and Eve, after the fall into sin, even though there was no law that made it a transgression. So in the next phrase in verse 13, that hamartia de, but sin is not elogetai, is not imputed or reckoned. Again, that's a third singular present, middle indicative. Sin is not reckoned, me antos namu. That again is a simple genitive absolute, antos, of course, from Amy. So when there is no law is how I would translate. So again, the whole verse, for until law, sin was in the world. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. In other words, it's not reckoned as transgression, so to speak. It kind of does its work like a snake in the grass, underneath hidden in the shadows, so to speak. Notice he makes that point explicitly in verse 14. Alla ebasilusen, but ha thanatos, death reigned from Adam up to Moses. See? Kai epitus, even over those not having sinned. So hamar tesantos is a participle, simple aorist, indicative, active participle, plural, accusative. Okay, so but death reigned from Adam up to Moses, even over those not sinning, epi to hamoi mati, those not sinning in the likeness of the transgression, parabasis, there's the word of Adam, who is a type to melantes, of the coming one. So notice what he's saying here. He's conceiving, and this is really important for the way you think about a sermon, I think. He's conceiving of sin and death as these powers that have people in their grip, that you're helpless against them. And it is actually the power of sin and death that God destroys with this mighty act of salvation. So if you think of the children of Israel in Egypt, they're under the power of someone too great for them, but God in his mighty acts delivered them. In the same way, people are subject to sin and death, even when there was no law between Adam and Moses. That's why people died. See, death and his twin brother sin reigned. And he uses that reign language and serve language throughout these chapters. Until God did his mighty act of salvation in Christ. So think of it like this other Exodus, this other parting of the Red Sea, this other defeat of the enemies, this other mighty thing that God did to save his people. And all those things pointed then to the great victory that God did on the cross and in the open tomb. Okay? So once again, but death reigned from Adam up to Moses, even over those not sinning in the likeness of the transgression of Adam. See, no one else did that same transgression, who is a type of the coming one. So notice you're getting this typological language. Of course, having used that word, he wants to say some other things about the relationship between Adam and Christ, and that's what he exactly does here. He wants to show us now that this is kind of a different kind of type, because Christ is kind of the white image of the black Adam, so to speak. Notice it's a contrasting kind of typology. And they're not equal. That's the point that he makes in the second group of parentheses, which is from 15 through 17. All right. So in the first parentheses, he wants to explain how sin ruled even apart from the law, all right, and how sin and death did their work. And now in this parentheses, he's going to explain a little bit about what he means by that typos word in verse 14, and tell us about the greatness of grace in comparison with the sin that was brought into the world. Verse 15, which is the second parentheses in this text from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. It goes from 15 to 17, in which he is now talking about the difference between Adam and Christ. Al uch, but not as the parapatoma, but not as the transgression, thus also the charisma, the free gift. So the free gift is much better. Agar, for if by the to tu henos parapatomati, for if by the transgression of the one, hoi paloi, the many died, ap ethanon. Again, notice that the hoi paloi trips a lot of people up, the many. Why does he switch from all to many? He does that in this chapter. But just remember that the hoi paloi is to be contrasted with the one. So it's the many is being contrasted to the one, not the many is being contrasted to all. Okay? So it's that point. So you have to think of all in terms of everyone. All right? But if by the transgression of the one, the many died, palu palon, kind of very woodenly, more by much, okay, by much more, he charis, the grace of God, and the dorea, and the gift, and charite, by grace, which is to henos anthropou, which is from the one man, Jesus Christ, for the many, eperisousen, abounded. So that's a third singular aorist active from perisuo. So again, the verb is at the end of that whole clause. More by much did the grace of God and the free gift by grace, which is from the one man, Jesus Christ, abound for the many. All right, here's the second verse. Still, we are still in the parentheses. Kai uk, and not. Now here's hos, which means which is a comparison here. So, and not as through one, namely one man, hamartesantis, when he sinned or after he sinned. That's an aorist participle, notice. Aorist participle, genitive, active indicative. Okay? Not as through one, when he had sinned, is the dorema, the free gift. And again, that's very wooden English, but I would translate, for the free gift is not like hos, what comes, or that stuff which comes through one man after he sinned. Okay? For the judgment from henos, from one, and we later find out that one what? One transgression. For the krema, the judgment from one transgression, leads to katakrima, or literally, is for katakrima. But the charisma, the free gift, from many parapatomaton, from many transgressions, is for dikaioma, is for justification, the clearing away of a violation. Notice that in this case, dikaioma is equivalent to dikaiosis, and it's opposite katakrima. So notice, because of the ma words here, it suggests that that's why he uses dikaioma in this context. Very nice. For the judgment from one is for condemnation, but the free gift from many transgressions is for dikaioma, justification, or for the clearing away of violation. Okay, we got one more verse in the parentheses. For if by the parapatoma, by the transgression of the one, thanatos, death, ebasileusin, reigned through the one, more by much. Now notice how you have the hoi, and you have to follow along all the way to the lambano test. That's from lambano. Again, that is a present active participle, nominative plural, all right, indicative. Much more by much, those who have received lambanatis, or those who receive the abundance periseion of grace and of the free gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So again, it's kind of convoluted once again in Greek. But the whole verse, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, more by much will those who receive the abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness, much more will they reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So again, you see this eschatological view, number one. It's really important to see that. Notice how the switch in language comes. Death and sin reign until God destroys them in Christ, in the cross and in the resurrection. And now, notice who reigns in life. I mean, it's a very important point to make if we're thinking on a sermon, that Paul gives us the assurance that our justification, our acquittal, means that we are going to reign in life. So it's a great message that he tells us here. All right, now finally, when we get to verse 18, we finally get to the comparison that he started way back in 12. So notice 12, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus for all men death has entered because all have sinned. Okay, now 18, you have therefore, araun, therefore, as through henos parapatomas, as through the transgression of the one, for all people, notice he's back to the all language, for all people, it led, notice you have to understand something like egeneto here, because there's no verb in the clause, it led to condemnation. So therefore, as through the transgression of one, kind of very woodenly, for all men for condemnation, we would say, for all men, it led to condemnation. Here's the big comparison that we've been waiting for. It's very satisfying. Hos kai, thus also through henos de kaiomatas, thus also through the de kaioma, the righteous act of one, for all men, for justification of life. Okay, and again, you'd have to add that egeneto. Thus also through the dikaioma, through the righteous act of one, it led, or for all men, it led to justification of life. And notice that genitive zoes, justification of life. Notice that that's the result of the justification. So in longhand, you might want to think about it, led to justification which brings life. And that, of course, is his whole point from the previous verse, that those who have received this free gift of justification will reign in life through Jesus Christ. So finally, he sums up in verse 19, for as through the disobedience, of one man, the many, hoi polloi, there he's back to it, kat estatheson is again an aorist passive indicative third person plural. The many were made hamartoloi, sinners. Thus also through the obedience, hypakae, or here in the genitive, hypakaes, through the obedience of the one, the many, katastathesontai, there is the future passive, the many will be made righteous. Again, notice his eschatological view. Or you could also understand these futures as more logical. Since this is the case, this will certainly be the case. And some people put that force in the language. And, of course, either one is certainly true. So notice, again, if we're working with that now, not yet framework, you could look at it this way. Since we are justified now, now we also reign. All right. Now we live, in a sense, death is a thing of the past, and yet we're waiting for that to be fully manifested, when we will reign in glory, when death will finally be stomped out for everyone to see. All right, so there's a lot we can preach on in that. Thank you.